The Homeland Security Department's Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Program has added a third tool to better protect private sector systems and data. DHS is now giving internet service providers and other third parties classified cyber threat data. Andy Osment is the DHS Assistant Secretary for the Office of Cybersecurity, and Danny Toller is Deputy Director of Federal Network Resilience. They tell Executive Editor Jason Miller about why adding NetFlow analysis capabilities to cybersecurity services will better protect companies.
The NetFlow analysis is essentially that the commercial service providers, the middlemen, will get high-level information about the network traffic companies that they're protecting, and then they'll look at that information with and compare it to essentially the classified information we give them. So, for example, if we say in classified information that this IP address is a malicious IP address, don't let it talk to your company, they will use that to see, you know, is that IP address in fact reaching out to one of the companies that they're protecting, in which case they can work with the company to make sure that they're not suffering an intrusion or attack.
So it's really looking at the internet traffic, obviously from a high level. We're not talking about specific words or emails, but really the bits and the bytes, those zeros and ones, and then ensuring that the third-party providers can protect their customers much better.
That's exactly right. Think about it as a guardhouse on the road that's entering a company's facility. You know, the protected company is paying a third party to run the guardhouse. We're giving classified information to the company running the guardhouse. So we're sending them a photograph of a bad guy that's classified. The guard can see whether, you know, that bad guy is trying to enter the base. And this is obviously an analogy. In reality, this is bits and bytes, and it's not recognizable as a person. It's, in fact, ones and zeros. But by analogy, we're giving this classified information to the guard who's using it to stop bad traffic from entering the private sector company.
Now, it seems to me that this type of capability is going to be a fairly significant improvement if you can look at the traffic, the network traffic, and say, hey, there may be a problem on this port, or hey, this IP address keeps pinging back, and we know that this IP address usually means it's coming from a bad actor or a hacker or a nation state. It's that next level of information so they can stop intrusion sooner. How close to real time is this? And this is not going to be a monthly report or a weekly report. What kind of feedback do the ECS providers give to their customers?
Yeah, Jason, Danny Toller here, and you're absolutely right. They can use this in real time, or they can use it after the fact, after something has happened, to someone else, to determine just how deep the issues could have been at the time. You know, where did they go in the company's network? What might have been taken? So it can be used for after the fact forensic capabilities as well. Back to Andy's analogy, if they're watching at the guard gate, something bad happens within that perimeter, they can then go back and say, okay, who came in and out? How often did they come in and out? Where did they go once they got there? So it's for those investigative type purposes as well as the real-time activity. Very significant for those users.
I talked to one specific vendor about these capabilities, SolarWinds, and when I did a search on the internet just about NetFlow analysis, they were one of the ones that came up first, and that's the only reason I chose them over anyone else. And when I said, were you surprised that they're adding these capabilities now, or is this something that's part of the evolution of ECS, generally speaking? And they said they thought that NetFlow would be something that would have been added on the front end, not necessarily the third capability in. What's the order, or what's the rhyme or reason for adding NetFlow now versus a year ago, 2 years ago, or whenever?
It's important to recognize the distinguishing capability of enhanced cybersecurity services, which is that it uses classified government information. The goal is not to compete with other commercial services that are being offered, unless they're, you know, perhaps one of these middlemen can package it together if they want to do that. But our goal is, how do we best take advantage of government classified information so that the private sector can take advantage of it and be protected? So why did we start with the protections we started with? One was the type of classified information we had. The other was what we saw as the most significant threat vectors and how to block it. And so we started with two other capabilities that we viewed as higher priority. This capability actually came about because a CSP, one of these middlemen, a commercial services provider, talked to their customers and wanted to add this capability. And that's great, because as much as possible, we want this to be driven by the needs of the end customers who are being protected and the market forces. And so we were responsive to that middleman who said, this is a service that we should be providing. We're giving them the classified government information. And when those middlemen, when those commercial service providers are ready, then they will launch this service. And that may happen at different times, and that may, they may not all decide to launch this particular service. It's going to be based on the demands of their customers.
Is there a lot that goes into adding NetFlow analysis capabilities, or is that something that really is you guys just say, here's the opening, how you guys ingest it and use it and make it work is kind of up to that commercial service provider?
We're letting the commercial service providers decide how they most want to execute this. And that's one of the whole points of this ECS program, which is how do we combine government information with private sector innovation in a way that is privacy protecting to secure critical infrastructure and other private sector companies. And this is the solution. We give the government information to these commercial service providers. They, driven by the market, their customers' demands, and their technical innovation, come up with new capabilities and services and offer them on to the end users, these protected companies.
It's classified information, so you have to be very sensitive about what you're talking about. But generally speaking, these are signatures that are going to the third-party providers, and they're coming from mostly DHS US CERT or DHS the NCIC, or they're coming from the Intel world. Can you give me a sense of the broad types of data and then where they're coming from, where you guys are collecting them from?
So I'll defer to Danny on the broad types of data, but DHS itself does not classify the data that we obtain from protecting the government, for example. And so we absolutely pass on unclassified information that we have gathered, but the classified data is largely from the law enforcement and intelligence communities that we're passing on. And again, we're passing it to this commercial service provider. The commercial service provider is using it to protect the end company. Say Acme Power Company is being protected by this commercial services provider. And we, the government, get very limited information back. So we only get aggregate high-level data back on have there been attacks against, for example, all of the customers of one commercial service provider. And so we are not getting much information back at all, and that's part of the privacy protection.
Danny, can you help out?
Sure. What we're looking at is things like, the two biggest things are IP addresses that are blocks of IP addresses that might come to us from our partners as classified information that we can then share out and help protect that critical infrastructure, are things that we would look for in emails and similarly derived from, either our partners on the intelligence side or on law enforcement that would give us that information. And then, again, we can use that to the benefit of protecting the critical infrastructure blind to us, but through these third parties that then critical infrastructure would buy into that or provide for themselves in some cases.
Andy, does the law that just got passed, the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Protection Act, does that benefit ECS and the government's ability to take in more different types of data? You said it's very aggregate, very high level. Does the law make things easier, or is that separate from this program?
That's an apples and oranges comparison. So the goal of the law is for private sector companies to be able to share cyber threat indicators with the government. So a cyber threat indicator is, the same similar types of information, a malicious IP address, information that describes a phishing email, a malicious domain name, that type of information. Those are cyber threat indicators. But the purpose of the law is for the companies to share those indicators with us, and the companies receive liability protection for sharing them. And we have a system that is online right now that companies can use to automatically send us or over the internet, machine to machine, send us these cyber threat indicators. And the liability protection for that under the law will kick in the next few weeks. So we are very close to that liability protection being available to companies and very excited about the opportunity for companies to share what they're seeing with us. We then will obviously pump it back out to as many companies as possible. Our goal is a see something, say something campaign on internet security, if you will. It's finding out this is what a bad guy can be characterized on the internet. These are the threat indicators, and we push them out as broadly as we can to every company and every sector.
Andy, I'm going to switch gears on you real quick. Einstein program, obviously, we've talked a lot about ECS, and that's focused on external cybersecurity with private sector companies. The Einstein program is focused on internal, so the government agencies. There was a GAO report. There was a response from the secretary. I'm not going to go ask you to hash everything and go back through what the GAO said versus what Secretary Johnson said, but just give me a sense of what your takeaway is from GAO and how you guys are moving forward with Einstein. Obviously, anytime you get a report like that, it gives you some food for thought at the very least.
Absolutely. There is no program in government that is a perfect program. The Einstein program in particular has really faced challenges driven by the legal and governance structure that surround it, in the sense that departments and agencies didn't have to use Einstein. Some of them were unsure whether they were legally able to use Einstein, and that's been a real challenge. Fortunately, the Congress acted in December of this year and passed a law that makes very clear that A, every department and agency is legally able to use Einstein, and B, that every department and agency must use Einstein. In fact, by the end of 2016, that's helped us enormously. So the GAO report highlights some areas that we have to improve on, and we know we have to improve on areas. This is an organic program. We're always going to be adding capabilities and improving it over time. And I welcome, you know, good feedback that highlights areas where we need to improve. But I do want to highlight the significant progress we've made. A year ago, Einstein protected only 20% of the government. Now it protects almost 50% of the government and is able to protect 100% of the government. So as soon as those agencies start signing up, we can offer them the protections. And that's happening now as a result of the law that Congress passed in December. So my biggest concern now is agencies realize now that they have to sign up. I'm just hoping, and we're working with them to make sure that they don't wait for the last minute, because there's no way we can add dozens of agencies, you know, one day at the end of the year. And so we need to get those agencies moving now so that we can stagger them throughout the year. And we're working very hard to do that.
Andy Osmond is Homeland Security Department's Assistant Secretary for the Office of Cybersecurity, and Danny Toler is the Deputy Director of Federal Network Resilience. You can learn more about NetFlow Analysis and DHS's Enhanced Cybersecurity Services at federalnewsradio.com. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.